Good morning and welcome to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zealand. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. And now, WHTC Money Matters.
And good morning, West Michigan. This is Jack Godfrey. Kerry Cooley off today. He's off skiing with his family up north. I guess they had a day off of school yesterday, so he's up north skiing at the Highlands today, or all weekend. So, hey, today's show is going to be divorce strategies to make the process easier. So, talk to you about divorce and strategies to help you through that divorce process with strategies to make it easier. I want to mention that we have an 80-person limit on our Health, Wealth, and Women workshop, and we are already halfway there. So if you want to participate, it's going to be a workshop that's going to be on March 16th. It's an evening workshop. It's our ninth year in a row. We always max out. It's going to be dinner served at 5:30. Show and workshop begins at 6. It's going to last up until 8:30 or until every question's answered. We're going to have myself, Kerry, Mary Jo Borman from Borman Law Offices, Stacy Campice from the Insurance Group. We're going to have American Funds person there saying about 15 minutes about what the market looks like. So we're going to have a great show. We also have a guest speaker, Lisa Crozier, who is the Weight Watchers leader. She's been on 17-8, and she is a coach on weight watching and dieting and meal preparation. So great show. Again, it's March the 6th. That's a Thursday evening. If you want to come, it's going to be at the Macatawa Legends. You need to call our office. You can call our office today, 616-931-1223, and that is extension 4. Jan will get you there. She'll call you back, give you some updates, and tell you what you got to do to participate. So that's the workshop. Let's talk about the market a little bit. You're probably watching TV right now that Russia just scored in a shootout over the United States. That went to overtime. They didn't win in overtime. Went to a shootout. Russia wins. So sad thing there, because I thought U.S. had them on the ropes there for a second. But, hey, talking about the marketplace, lots of things going on. You know, you have the government making statements. You have positioning going on in Obamacare. You have a president that thinks that he could just make up laws, which is a little bit scary when you have, you know, we're supposed to have the courts, the executive branch, and the Congress kind of keeping track of each other. And now the president is going out and saying that, you know, this law, we're just going to push it back a little bit. Can't really do that. You need to make an amendment to the law. So, you know, really seeing some structural changes if this goes on with what happens with that three-branch system that we have of checks and balances. The court's supposed to be coming in here and saying, Mr. President, you can't do that. So, you know, it's really interesting. However, on the positive side, you see unemployment down to 6.5, which is, that's a national number. That is not a, it's a great number. We were at 10.5 when he took over. So, you know, I think it's a great number nationally. We still have an increasing number of people who are still underemployed or have dropped out of the workforce. So that's not such a good thing. Markets. Markets are, if you had your statement, which you would have just got here in the last few days through January, you would have saw that down. So, you know, what you see here is you probably saw your statement down 3.5%. That's what the S&P was down for the first month. So, you know, talking to a number of people, you know, why is my account down X? And I go, well, you know, if you've got $1 million invested and the market is down 4%, you're down $40,000. This is a discussion that I have with lots of people is what's plus and what's minus. You have to have an agreement with your advisor. Where are we with the percentages that we need before we want to do something in your account? And when you have a lot of money and 4% is a lot of change, Well, it's the law of large numbers that comes in to say, hey, you know, 4% isn't much for your account to be down because you have a lot of money. So it's a discussion that you need to look at in the mirror and say, what is a large amount of money to me? And 4% is what it is. But is your plus or minus 10%? Is your plus or minus 12%? I think we're still in the fourth inning of a nine-inning game. Lots of things that changed this week was actually some things that have been down recently changed for the week. So you look at large foreign up 4.5, small foreign up 4.5. Emerging markets, which has been terrible now for the third year, was up 4%. If you look at emerging markets, which I like emerging markets, that's where the growth is. When we say growth, that's where the growth is because people have pent-up demand. Do they have the cash? No. But do they need food? Yes. Do they need some of the things that we can send them from the United States? Can we export? Yes. Emerging markets up 4% this past week. For the month, they're down 1.56. For the 3 months, we're talking about emerging markets now, down 3.52. Year to date, emerging markets down 4.73. So in 1 week, you've seen, you know, they were down at one time 9% year to date. So it's really interesting of where you want to be putting your money in and where you should be putting it now. So, it's really interesting. So, let's take a look at some more categories here. If you take a look at the S&P for the year to date, down 1.33. What's big? Energy down 5%. Healthcare up 3.81. Utilities up 4%. What's down? Industrials, consumer discretionary, consumer staples. Those were up the largest last year. If you look at the 1 year, we're looking at customer discretionary. Best place to be last year is now leading the categories of being down for the year. What's leading the categories up? That would be two categories, healthcare and utilities. So, you know, those are pretty interesting things, where we're coming from. So now I guess I gave you wrong information. I guess the U.S. did win in a shootout, so I said Russia. So I would have been getting text messages from my wife. So I guess Russia did lose. The U.S. wins the first hockey game. So that's up-to-date news here. Other things, we always talk about high yield. High yield is where we like you to be, had to have some of your money into bonds. And high yield right now for the year-to-date. If we just look at year-to-date, is up 2.82% year-to-date. While all the other sectors are down, we're looking at that being up in the highest of the bond category. What's down? Treasuries are up 0.5. Bank loans are up 1.27. Corporates are up 2.35. So, you need to take a look at high yield overall. We like that spot for... because we still think it's undervalued. We still think it's undervalued. You're still buying high yield below par. You want to make sure you watch your duration. So those are the categories. So that's where we are in the market for year to date. We have more market news, but we're going to take a break. You listen to Jack Godfrey, Money Matters. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. Jack Godfrey, host of the show. Kerry Cooley, part of the team of Cooley Godfrey, is off today skiing. So you got me. Call me, 616-395-1450 here at the show. Chris running the board. We're having a good time. USA won the hockey shootout in Russia, so that's great for the USA. We're talking what the market did so far year to date. We got other numbers we're going to go over right now. But if you got a question, our show today is going to be about divorce strategies while you're in the process of getting a divorce. So if you want to call on that, give me a call, 395-1450. So we went through the S&P. Here's really interesting. As of today, the S&P has gone 860 calendar days without a 10% or greater drop. The fifth longest streak without a double-digit pullback in the last 50 years. From its all-time closing high of 1848 on January 14th of this year, has fallen just 2.5% so far this year. So, you know, we're on a pretty good run. You know, we're on a pretty good run. We talked about unemployment being 6.5%, which is a good number. Here's a good thing, but we're also talking about lack of participation in the workplace. The civilian workforce has remained flat for 4.5 years. We're taking a look at when the recession ended, June of 2009. We had 154.7 workers out of the workplace. January 2014, we're still at 155, an increase. So the labor force, we're having more people drop out of the labor force. So, you know, what you got to calculate is people coming in, those people getting out of college, those people getting out of high school, those people coming to the U.S. legally or illegally. So we have to think about what's that doing to the workforce. As of January 1st of this year, the S&P was up 10% per year on a trailing 50-year basis. Now, Carrie and I, when we do a financial plan, we like to say we're happy with 6 to 8%. Do we want to say that you can look at the averages going forward, you should be able to get 10% return? We do not say that. We think 6 to 8 is fine. And we've been looking back 15, 20 years. We've consistently got 6 to 8% for every person we've got. So it's nice to have the market up. That's great, but can you do well in a down market? National debt. February has produced the largest monthly deficit typically on record. Why? Is because of income tax refunds. We're sending money, believe it or not, back to people with income tax refunds, which is we have less money going into the federal government, which means we're borrowing more money. So look at jobs. This is really a crucial one here. This is the talk about the Keystone Pipeline, which we've been trying to get passed for how many years now? An independent analysis, which you've probably seen in the newspaper as of 2 weeks ago, 131 of 14, concluded the construction of the Keystone XL Pipeline would support 42,100 new jobs. I don't know how they got the 100 in there. You seem like they'd say 35,000 to 50, but they settle on 42,000, would add about 3.4 billion of business activity, which seems low, an increase of only 0.2% to our 16 trillion economy, which is, you know, that's a lot of people, but what it adds to total economy seems like it'd be higher, but that just kind of gives you a percent of 0.2% it would add to our $16 trillion economy. So, lots of things. Top 5% of the U.S. taxpayers. Top 5% of the U.S. taxpayers paid 56.5% of federal tax in 2011. The bottom 95 pay 43%. Gift tax, same as this year, 2014. The gift tax for this year, the annual, which you can give away free per person to one individual, $14,000, which goes against the lifetime exclusion of $5.34 million. That's what you can exempt in gift taxes throughout your lifetime, which is a big number. That is truly a big number. Here's another thing. This is really interesting. Chris, I know you weren't born, but this is February the 9th. February the 9th, 64. Do you know what happened on that day?
That's the day I was born, of 1964.
Yeah, right.
I look great for my age. Do I know what happened on that day?
50 years ago.
February 9th of 1960.
Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, the Beatles.
39% of the nation's people watch that show.
So what, 70 million or something?
39%, yeah. Yeah, 39.
Wow.
So how many people watch the Broncos lose to the Seahawks? 35% of the nation. Now we have a bigger population.
We do.
But that's 35%. So 39% of the total population watch the Beatles. So that's pretty interesting. Hey, if you got questions, call us, 395-1450. Those are kind of the numbers, which is really good. We always have questions of the week. And so if you want to call us with questions, you could call our office at 616-931-1223, extension 4. Janet will take your questions. We'll read it on the air. If you want to write us, you can absolutely write us at CooleyGodfrey at LPL.com. You could go to our website, www.cooleygodfrey.com. Great website, K-O-E-L-E-G-O-D-F-R-E-Y. Janet's in charge of running that website. It is just stellar website. Social Security questions. We always try to ask one Social Security question per week that we get, and here's the first one for this week. I want to start collecting Social Security at age 66. If I retire at 63 and not work, will that cut into my benefit? Well, it depends. If you've got 35 years of earnings, then no, it's going to take your highest 35 years of earnings. So, you know, if you are dropping off numbers at the back end, let's say, for example, I tell people when I started my first job in 1975, making $9,000 in a company car, it's like, wow, that was a lot of money. And so I'm definitely making more money now than I did then. But, you know, when you continue to work, you're dropping off numbers. So, Chris, we have a call.
We do. Good morning. A friend of the show, been listening for years. Steve's on the line.
Hey, Steve.
How are you doing this morning?
Good, Steve. Good, good. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate listening to you every Saturday.
Thank you.
You may recall me from the past.
Oh, yeah.
I'm rather reluctant to do any investing these days. Basically, I have everything that I have in CDs and IRAs in a bank, a credit union, that sort of thing, earning very, very little interest with one account, with one bank. I'm lucky to get, say, 1.25% interest.
Sure.
And I do draw off the interest off of those accounts, except for the IRAs, of course, quarterly. I'm wondering, I've had this question for quite some time about the bonds, that sort of thing that you offer. Is it possible to draw off the interest, say, quarterly, whatever, from those bonds that are yielding, say, 5% or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I should say this probably with 90%. 90% of our people who have high-yield bonds take the income. So I could point you to probably 6 or 7 different things that we use to generate income, and that average would be a little bit north of 6%. And we buy those typically in a managed account. We charge people 0.8, and so your net there would be north of 5.2 plus. And we manage that account, so we watch what's happening in the high-yield market. And we've been tremendously successful for 10 years doing that. Now, we've had some aberrations of the interest rates being continue to be lower, which has ran up the price of the high-yield sector, but it allows us the management. We have a lot of people in the same stuff, which allows us to watch. You know, we probably have 20 million, 25 million in what we're doing here with that. And we've been tremendously successful not watching NAV, your account, go away. Now, does this fit for you? I don't know, but your insurance cost that you pay to buy FDIC insurance is pretty high.
Sure.
So it's either the right hand or the left hand. Does it fit for you? I don't know, Steve, but we've been tremendously successful doing that for a long time, getting people income. If you need income, that's what we've been doing. You know, we do other stuff. If you're a higher net worth people, we do BDCs, business development companies, which is all senior debt, which is highest on the ladder for bankruptcy. Or, you know, people who decide not to pay. You know, there's always defaults, and you want to keep defaults to a minimum. You want to keep your duration lower if you can. You know, we're doing this, again, for income, not for growth. There's a difference. We're not buying this stuff for, you know, if you would have called in 2008, Steve, which you did, you've been following the show for a long time, we could buy individual bonds in 2008 at 56 to 60 to 70% of the market. So, you know, not only were we clipping a coupon of 7.5 to 8, we were buying at a discount of 10, 15, 20, 25%. So when this bond comes due, not only did you get a great interest rate, you also received a 25% increase of what you put in. Those days are now gone.
Right.
Everything in that category is now selling at a premium. So I love individual bonds. I just can't find individual bonds that are worth buying right now because they're all at a premium.
Right. Another question.
Yep.
I've heard in the past, I mean, there's people out there advertising gold as an investment, and of course that's gone down. But they mention the fact that various governments around the world have begun to seize people's savings accounts to pay their debts. And certainly here in the United States, of course, we are running up massive, massive debts. And at some point in time, my fear is, and who knows when we're going to hit that point, we keep kicking the can down the road, when the government itself is going to say, look, there's all this money out there, either in IRAs or bank accounts, savings accounts, whatever the case may be, here's how we solve our problem.
You know, we've had national debt like this for a long time. I understand perfectly because every time I get my get in front of Bill Huizenga, which last month I've been seeing up to see him twice, which is nice. I ask him the same thing. And, of course, the Republicans blame the Democrats. Democrats blame the Republicans. The president doesn't have a clue. You know, I don't foresee us having a debt problem until we as individuals take our country back. Take our country back and say, if you look in the mirror, we have to raise taxes. We have to raise taxes to get out of this. We have to climb our way out. Or, you know, if you listen to economists, we're going to inflate our way out of this. We're going to inflate our way out of this. That means we're going to pay back the dollars that we owe with cheaper dollars going forward. So that's the way the U.S. economy could grow out of here. So if we grow this economy, have more people working, may have more people paying taxes, we don't tend to spend more. That's what we're going to do. Or we could have a person like our governor, Snyder, be elected. And, you know, Republicans don't like Snyder. Democrats don't like Snyder. Unions don't like Snyder. Teachers don't like Snyder. But he solved our problems. And, you know, you look back when we had Jennifer Granholm as a governor for two terms. She had the House and she had the Senate. Could not get anything passed.
Right. How do we raise taxes, though, and compete in the world market?
Well, you're looking at two different things here. I mean, you know, competing in the world market has nothing to do with raising taxes. I mean, the wealthy have a lot of money. The wealthy have a lot of money. And am I about raising taxes on the wealthy? Absolutely am I about raising taxes, only if we don't spend more. I think everybody knows we have to raise taxes. I think most people say that. But if we spend more and we continue to kick the can down the road with spending more, that's a bad thing. That is truly a bad thing.
As though if we raise taxes on the wealthy, they are essentially the ones who are out there creating jobs. They're the ones who start up new companies. Personally, myself, when I was still working, I never worked for anybody that was poor. I mean, you know, maybe on a simple little basis, but essentially I never worked for anybody that was poor. People hate the rich. That's what I hear from some quarters. That, oh, the rich are, they're evil, they've got all this money. Well, yes, it's because they went and invested their money, they came up with ideas, and eventually it all trickles down. Eventually we're going to reach the point where, let's say somebody has $1,000, and that's the way it looks to me, just to make it simple, somebody has $1,000, and somebody else only has $250, and they go to the person that has $1,000 and say, hey, I need $250. I'm going to take it from you, regardless of whether I worked for it or not, and just to make things equitable.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm talking about equitable or not. I mean, that, you know, we're talking a couple of different things. We're trying to solve how we're going to get out of this national debt, and we're talking about what's fair. I mean, you know, Carrie and I, we started this business 20 years ago. We had zero customers. You know. Zero customers. We knocked on doors. We networked. We now manage $170 million worth of people's money, which is they've entrusted us with a lot. We started the business from nothing. And I think we have to, you know, go back to the educational process, you know, like Germany, where they have interns, they have job shadowing. We as a, you know, we were so enthralled with a BA degree, an MBA degree. My parents were dirt farmers. They were tremendously successful, milking cows and starting their own business. Today we've just like we forgot how to be successful, and people think you need a BA or a BS or a college degree to be successful. That's not true. And so we need to get back to job shadowing. Here you look at Chris, which I'm looking across the board, tremendously successful today because he works two jobs. And, you know, he's successful at both jobs. And I tell people, and some people don't like this, I go, you need to get a second job. You know, I've recently had some college graduates who have master's degree in occupational therapy. And I go, to pay for this college debt, young lady, you have to not only work at the hospital 7 to 3:30, but you got to get a next job on the weekends. So we're not tough enough as U.S. people working. We're looking for somebody to bail us out. And, you know, it's kind of a merry-go-round here. You know, you look at the people who vote and vote people in the office. They're not working.
Right.
They're not working. And, you know, you have to say, where's this money going to be generated? It's off corporations and the wealthy. And believe me, I'm not a believer in raising taxes just to raise taxes. But if we don't get out of this picture, like you, that's what you're saying, if we don't get out of this $17 trillion debt, you're going to see interest rates go up. But we can't raise interest rates because the U.S. looking in the mirror is going to raise it on themselves. We can't afford the interest. So I'm all about you. If we don't raise taxes, create more jobs, we're in a world of hurt soon.
Yes, that's
soon.
Correct.
So, hey, I appreciate you calling.
Thank you very much.
Yep, good talking to you, Steve.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so we're going to take a break right now. We'll be back with divorce, helping you make some strategies to process that easier. So listen to WHTC Money Matters with Jack Godfrey. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. WHTC Money Matters. Jack Godfrey, your host today. Carrie Cooley off today, and we're talking right now on strategies to make the divorce process easier. So lots of strategies. When you go to a divorce attorney, they don't care much about your financial being. They're trying to get you through the divorce process. Who gets what? How do you do it? How do you take from him? How do you give to her, etc.? But, you know, we always try to concentrate on the financial aspects of how are you going to survive this process. A psychological issue, sometimes it's the estate planning process. It's the transfer of assets back to him, back to her, across the table. Who gets to keep the business, et cetera. So lots of things that you need to have a strategy for when you're in the divorce process that attorneys, one, they're not educated in law school on being a financial planner of their assets. They're strictly talking about the law of getting you through the process. So we're not talking about the law process today. We're talking about the financial aspects of during a process of a divorce. So first thing that you do in a divorce is once you file, which is that's the legal process, but then it's the discovery process of who's got what. He's got an IRA, he's got a 401k, you've bought the house together, et cetera. And some people try to hide the assets out of the gate, which is that could be in contempt of court. Those are some things that you want to make sure that you go through the discovery forthcoming, where all the assets, who brought them to the table. If in fact that you brought these assets to the table before you were married, he brought these assets. Sometimes you can negotiate. You get to keep those. He gets to keep those. So it's, you know, trying to get you through the financial portion of it. And one of the biggest things always in a divorce is who's protecting your credit rating? Who's protecting you to make sure that somebody doesn't run up the credit card in a joint credit card and the other person who now has the money is liable, or the other person is liable for half it. So the first thing that I would say is if you're contemplating a divorce or in the process of a divorce, cancel the credit cards immediately that have a joint person on the account. Or if there's a joint bank account, split it up right out of the gate. He's got $10,000 in his account. You take five, I take five, and that account's now closed. Because that is the biggest strategy that sometimes people do is just, you know, people say, just run up his credit card. Just run up his credit card. He's got to pay half of it. And they do that. So another thing is take control of the debts. Another thing that people do, of course, in a joint name is they'll buy stuff. They'll buy stuff and keep it, or buy stuff and hide it, or buy a new car, put it in their name. So those are some things that you want to do. And probably the biggest thing is you want to make sure that you take a look at how am I going to survive as that surviving party, both husband and wife, how am I going to survive with the budget that I'm now need to going to establish. If you don't have a job, is there going to be alimony? Is there going to be child support? How am I, if I am a spouse who is not working, how am I going to establish a budget to maintain this household? Am I going to have the sole person earning money going to provide the mortgage payment until the house is sold? Who is going to decide that? Who is going to create that, again, that budget for that person that doesn't have a job? How are you going to survive? Do you have to move in with the parents? Do you have to get a downsize into apartment? That budget coming out of that is crucial. And you got to think of this day one. So if you're going to file for divorce, that process that you go through is, how am I going to survive? How do I cut expenses? And who's paying for the bills today? And one of the things is, who's paying the cable? Who's paying the cell phones? Who's paying the electric? You know, cell phones is a big one. You know, we've seen places where one spouse runs up a big credit card bill on the husband's account, or vice versa. It is a tremendous thing that cell phones are an enemy today in that divorce process. So you got to think, who's paying the divorce process? Who's paying it? And sometimes I recommend people move the cell phone to a new account, keep your number, so all of a sudden it doesn't get cut off. It doesn't get just like stopped because one spouse decided not to pay the bill, or he has the passcode on the account and said, hey, I want this number just shut off, which if he's paying the bill or she's paying the bill, they have the right to do that. So now we're in that process of the insurance. If you have a life insurance policy that's now carried by a husband or wife's business, what do you do with the insurance that is going to be somewhat of a necessity? Is the other spouse going to be paying for your life insurance going forward? One of the biggest things that people forget about is changing your beneficiary on all of your accounts. That means once that divorce process is finished and you get the QDRO, Qualified Domestic Relations Order, that means the divorce is final. You're now allowed to change your beneficiaries on your life insurance, on your 401k, on your transfer on death, on your brokerage accounts and bank accounts, on your IRAs, on your Roth IRAs, ownership of the house, ownership of the car. You're changing all the beneficiaries, plus you're now changing all the people who are now going to be responsible for payments. So that's one of the things that you have to settle is, we owe this debt jointly. You both signed in that happy marriage. You both signed to buy a car, a house, a cottage, a boat, a snowmobile, whatever. Or somebody has signed for you illegally and you didn't know that. So Chris is saying we're going to take another break. So we'll be back talking about divorce strategies. If you got questions, call 616-395-1450. Listen to WHTC Money Matters. Jack Godfrey will be right back. Welcome back to WHTC. Jack Godfrey here, part of the team of Cooley Godfrey in downtown Zeeland. I want to remind you that we have a women's workshop, our 9th annual women's workshop. That's coming up, and that's going to be the first week of March, first Thursday of March, March the 6th. And that's going to be at the Macatawa Legends Golf Course. It is Health, Wealth, and Women. start at 5:30 for dinner and refreshments. We are going to be having myself and Carrie, Mary Jo Borman, Borman Law Offices, Stacy Campites, the insurance group. We're going to have a guest speaker, Linda Crozier, from talking about how to freshen up your food routine and avoid boredom in food, how to reduce your calories, how to do things, small things every day in your life. It's a great show. It's our ninth year. We have 80 people capacity. We're now over 40. We're halfway there. We have another 2 weeks to go. So if you want to be involved in this, health, wealth, and women, you need to call our office right now, 616-931-1223, extension 4. And Janet will take that message tomorrow when she comes in and then give you a call back, give you all the particulars, and we'll see you there. So that's our women's workshop. That's our ninth one. We're talking about divorce strategies. So, you know, it's always strategies. One thing that people forget is the strategy regarding taxes. We're not telling you how to file your taxes, but one comes up, if you're divorced this year, guess what? You got to file taxes at the end of the year for 2014 taxes. Are you going to file single? Are you going to file head of household? Who gets the kids off the deduction? Are you going to file jointly? Are you going to go to the same person to file your taxes? Has he always done the taxes or has she always done the taxes? Finding a great tax accountant is always very important the year following your divorce, because you're going to have joint things that you're going to need to put down there for your divorce. Very important that you get taxes understood, because lots of times taxes are not settled in the QDRO. Typically, any divorce attorney will say, who gets the kids' deductions? Are you going to go back and forth? You get them this year, I get them next year. How you file your taxes is very, very important. Insurance needs. Who's going to now cover the kids? Who's going to be covering the spouse that has not been working? Is that part of the strategy that you need to come to the table and say, okay, I'm not going to have health insurance. I stayed home and been raising the kids for X number of years. You need to provide me with insurance until X number of years, until the kids are 18, until I get a job making this. So you need to think about how you're going to be covered for health insurance. That is a big thing today that you should be aware of. We've talked about changing beneficiaries. Very crucial. So if you're now divorced and you have kids, now your kids are going to be the beneficiaries. Who's going to take the kids if one spouse does not survive the next year? What happens there? Who is going to get the kids? So that's a important thing. We actually have a divorce checklist that we'd be glad to send you if you want to call, again, our office at 616-931-1223, that we go through with people who come in and say, hey, Jack or Carrie, we're in the process of getting divorced. What should we do? And again, you're not going to have an attorney go through all this with you because they have somebody else help them with their accounts. So we spend a lot of time helping people through that process that not many people understand it or get it. And again, we're able to help you, and I'm actually looking at this checklist now that we'd be glad to send you to get you through this process of talking about divorce. So we went through the taxes, we went through beneficiaries, we went through retirement plans. Now, part of the strategy is are you getting the other spouse half of their retirement plans? One thing that we have helped people with and attorney firms do is qualifying what your pension is worth, qualifying what you need to come to the table with and saying, okay, upon retirement, spouse on the other side of the table, you're going to be getting a pension. Let's talk about in dollars what that is worth today. So I always use the 5% rule. So if you have $100,000 in your IRA account, he has $100,000 in his IRA account, that's a wash. But if one spouse has a pension where they're going to be getting $3,000 a month for the rest of their life, what does that equate to of taking that back and forth across the table to say, what's that worth? Not many people know how to calculate what a pension's worth. So we'll be glad to help you with what does that help you with a pension. Don't forget about your credit rating. You have to if you're going to be getting a divorce, you now are going to probably have to go out and reborrow money for a house, for a condo, for a mobile home. And if you don't have good credit, somebody has ruined your credit on the other side of the table, you need to be aware as soon as that divorce is filed, you need to be aware of what's my credit look like. And you might want to buy a service for a while to make sure that other spouse is not ruining your credit. So we'll be glad to help you. You need to call us if you want help through this process. We're all about helping you. We're coming to the end of the show right now. Again, we have a checklist that we'd be glad to send you if you'd like that. Next week's show, I'm going to be gone next week. My son Ben's, his best friend, is getting married, so we're going to be gone for the weekend. And we have four of our five kids coming in from of the outside coming to this wedding, so we're going to have a small-time reunion. Our show next week is going to be Tips for the Successful Investor. Tips for the Successful Investor. So don't forget about our women's workshop. Call us on that. We're coming to the end. So thanks for listening to WHTC Money Matters with Jack Godfrey. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
You've been listening to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Jack Godfrey and Carrie Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zealand. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Be sure to join us next Saturday at the same time for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.